Ross speaking, hello.
That's Russ Simmons. My name is Sean Lewitz, and you're listening to Something Shifted. Someone once told me that goals are easy, progress is hard, and only progress matters. On Something Shifted, we explore that space between your head and your heart as we navigate change and how that impacts the rest of our lives. Today's story is about Ross Simmons, who embraced change in one of the biggest ways we might know. He might very well be the epitome of someone that rolled the dice on their career and came out smiling. Do you ever feel you got lucky?
I feel very fortunate that I do. I feel I have lucky stars. But again, you know, the harder I work and the better I get, the luckier I get. But I will say that I think something I have always had is the ability to see things kind of coming down the pipeline before they actually get there. And when I started working, I just for the longest time wanted to complete a 365-day project where it was dedicating a day of each day of the year to an entire project.
In 2014, Ross was working in web development, but had this deep desire to create. He'd been tinkering with origami, the ancient art of folding paper into sculptured shapes. In fact, he used to make these tiny little sculptures and leave them wherever he went. So that became his creative challenge. Could he fold a brand new shape every single day of the year?
And I figured the best way to do that was just to use Instagram as a digital record of doing that. This is in 2014. For me, it was just keeping a record of everything I'd created, taken a photo of, and then posted onto Instagram. I think 2014 was, I guess, when most people are like, oh, you know, wising up to the fact that this is a thing. But for me, I just kept it as a, you know, it was a digital record. That was all it was. And it was a personal thing. It was a personal project. And I think a lot of the time, if you set out to do something for yourself out of pure interest, just see how far it can go.
I think we're going to take this all the way. Something Shifted continues next.
I was very bad at working in a corporate environment. I was very bad at taking orders from others. And I have been like that since I was a kid. So working for myself, I didn't think it was going to work out because I didn't really think, you know, how is this going to turn out? But it has, and I feel very grateful. So am I lucky? Absolutely. But I also think that it came with a lot of understanding of myself and also just willing to take a bit of a chance and a risk.
By the time he got to December of 2014, Ross's little digital record had amassed quite a big following.
I had close to 50, or it was over 50,000 followers at that time. So I was just like, okay, if all I had to do was follow something that some intuitive, guide or light to like, cool, let's go do this thing. Then I think that maybe is luck, but I also think it's awareness and self-awareness. It's knowing that something is telling me something that I can't fully understand within myself, within my mind. Like, why is this thing talking to me? Why do I feel I need to do this thing so badly? Once I switched that off, I was just like, let's go do the thing.
Yes, I love that. Let's do the thing. It's been well over 10 years since Ross changed careers, leaving the world of web development far behind him. It's often said to get a sense of where you're going, you need to know where you've come from. And seemingly, Ross trusts his intuition quite well. So where did he get that from? What did your parents do for a living?
My father worked at the same company for 39 years, but just made his way up the corporate ladder in the mining industry, in the mining sector, and he did very well for himself there. My mom worked in, she did a couple of administration jobs. She worked at a signage company for a long time. She worked at a doctor's office, but also had a very, keen interest in all things esoteric, you know, be it essential oils or meditation or psychic development on some level. So that was always there. She was always burning incense and just trying to make the space that she was in feel good.
It seems pretty clear that embracing change was not exactly modeled to Ross at home. Do you recall who you spent most of your time with as a child?
Does it have to be a person? Because it was literally my computer. And my dad got like one of the original, I think it was an XT, if you know what that is, PC, when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And he brought that thing into the house, and I can remember like seeing that thing there. I was like, what is that? It was just something about that machine just spoke to me. And I sat down behind that when I was 6, and I'm sitting behind it as we speak now. So anyone who, you know, came into our house, it was always Ross sitting behind the computer. That was just always what I was doing. What I was doing there, I don't know. I can't remember. I think most of the time it was just playing games. I said I was on radio. I had a fascination with sound. So I was recording little sound bites, and I guess what is now content creation, I was doing it on my machine. I mean, I wasn't doing it for any purpose. It was just pure, like, cool, let's see what I can make this thing do. You know, in terms of an entity that I spent the most time with was definitely my computer. And then, yeah, not to say that I didn't have friends. I'm a pretty social person, and I get on with people. I think my brother and I were best friends. We are best friends. And you get older, and you hopefully maintain that relationship, which we have. But yeah, it would have to be my brother and the computer. And when it was the two, it were like all three of us, you know, us playing games or doing whatever, that was the best.
A loving home life with two parents that see value in stability and logical progression. Ross came up against a little bit of resistance when trying to choose a career path.
I wanted to go to film school, and my dad was like, film school. Now, this is 2001, okay, so a couple of years ago. You know, film school and film and whatever was not really a thing at that stage. It was up and coming. You know, back to what I said earlier about seeing a trend going forward. If you look at the film industry in South Africa and Cape Town, particularly now, it's booming. But I think I saw a trend, and I think where my dad saw, like, he's going to go study film, and what is he going to become? Like, he can't act. He's, you know, he plays the guitar. He likes to tell stupid jokes sometimes, but you know, how is he going to be able to apply it? And because I didn't need that logical progression of I do this, that, and he needed that because, you know, that's just how he operated and everyone around him operated. He said, look, you can go do it, but it's going to have to be on your own steam, which I, at that stage, couldn't afford. So I ended up going to hotel school, of all things. Why or how I got myself there was crazy. My dad said, cool, I'll pay for this if you want to go to it. He's like, yeah, that's logical. You know, hotel school, you can go become. There's work there. And the first day I stepped in there, I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to do this thing because I need to prove to myself and particularly my father that I can start something and finish it. Which I did for 3 years. And yeah, I mean, the road after that was a little bit windy and up and down. And I ended up studying again, which was computer programming, which I probably should have done in the first place. And yeah, that got me my first job as a web developer in Cape Town.
Okay. And it was during the time you were working as a web developer that you were folding paper and leaving these little origami ornaments all over the place. And that's when you progressed into a 365-day project. But it was halfway through that year and your Instagram account was actually still operating under a pseudonym, Calvin Rockstar.
That's correct, yes. That is correct.
Who was that guy to you? And as far as pseudonyms go, he sounds very real.
Yeah, it's so weird, man. That's my, you know, that's been my email address since I was at hotel school.
Has it really?
Yeah, it has. It's calvinrockstar@gmail.com. And that's what all my emails now filter through to, that email address, which is on my Gmail account. That started, I think someone at hotel school said that I reminded them just the way I was like Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes, okay.
This cheeky little kid with an imaginary friend. I mean, like, yeah, that's pretty much me. I had a little Calvin sticker on the back of my car. And then I always wanted to be a rock star because I'd played music for the longest time. Okay. And when Gmail came around, I was like, well, Calvin Rockstar. Hey, that kind of works. Now that you bring that up, like, I do feel like there is still that little kid in me. I do have a young, cheeky child inside me that kind of rears his head every now and then. And I've had to just accept that that's just part of who I am. And I enjoy it sometimes, but also it can act out in, like, exactly like a little kid would, which is, you know, scream and shout and doesn't get his own way, sits in the corner sulking. And I've had to deal with that.
And while the Instagram account is no longer called Calvin Rockstar, you can find Ross as White on Rice because he's everywhere. I also like the way that he starts to unfold here. And bear with me for a moment. If we were to consider Ross like one of his very own origami sculptures, from the outside looking like a real work of art, but when you start to unpack it, unfold those fold lines, we realize that the creases are what's holding everything in place. Almost like our lives, there have been creases and folds that have shaped the person we've become.
you know, going kind of internally within myself and accepting that that's who I am, and actually making peace and developing a relationship with that person, your inner child. I mean, everyone's got an inner child. Mine is just happens to be, I guess, like Kelvin, who just sits there sometimes and just grumpy and, you know, miserable. And I've had to just tell him, listen, it's going to be okay. It's a weird thing me speaking about it, but it's like I can see it. It's part of me. It's who I am. And I try my hardest not to let it become too much a part of my day-to-day life and my dealings with, particularly my wife. Oh, God bless my wife. She's had to deal with that human being, you know, on many levels. But yeah, over the last year, I think I've tamed that Kelvin beast in some way, which is great.
I guess now we need to get Nikki on the show to see whether that is indeed true. Nikki is Ross's wife, who works in the confectionery space, a creative in her own right, the brains behind Sweet Lionheart. Together, they've actually formed New Sugar Studios, where they operate with food and stop motion. Have you guys yet created an origami cake that looks like origami, but when you slice it, it opens up to be a cake?
No, we haven't actually done that. That's actually a great idea, Sean. Maybe we'll do that.
Thank you very much.
We'll send you. Yeah.
Please.
You can
just tag me in the video. That's all I want. Tell me that story about the time you got an email from Christian Dior.
That was so weird. I can still remember that. I was like, what? Like, it, because the email came through and they said, I can't remember the guy's name. So-and-so from Christian Dior in France. And I was like, what? Is this a spam mail? Because it came through and it was like the title was in French and the email itself was in quite pretty broken English. And I could understand what they were asking for. And I was just like, okay, well, they wanted an animation for, they wanted to, you know, tell the story of Christian Dior flying to Japan, having a fashion show, doing whatever. And they just needed some social media content. This is at the end of 2014. I think it was December or November 2014. So when that mail came through, I was kind of like, whoa, this is weird. And then the more I, you know, conversed with the person, I realized, okay, it was at christiandior.com. And I was like, okay, I'm still like not too sure what was going on there. And they said, this is the idea, come up with a concept. I did two animations for them. And then I just realized I made more money from those two animations than I would like probably for 2 months of work as a web developer in the job that I was doing at the level I was at the time. So I just thought, you know, if I can just get more of those kinds of jobs and focus my attention entirely on origami and stop motion animation and content creation, then maybe I've got a shot. And that was nearly 10 years ago.
Thank heavens you put yourself out there for 365 days, Ross. Can you imagine where you would be if you hadn't?
Yeah, yes, exactly. I'd still be working a day job, sitting at some agency somewhere, hating my life, hating my boss, hating my traffic manager.
Your little paper Yoda wouldn't exist, nor would the balloon house from the animated movie Up. It wouldn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't have created a Sonic the Hedgehog out of paper. I mean, none of those things would have happened.
Yeah, it's crazy. I do. It's weird. There's a very famous Snoop Dogg standing up at a conference or whatever, just thanking himself. And yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not. I think he's got a bit more, you know, swag than what I do, but I do. I thank myself for doing that. I thank myself for showing up. I thank myself for putting myself out there. And not to say that there weren't other people involved in the inspiration and the, I guess, the guidance. But at the end of the day, it's like anything. If you don't do it yourself, nobody's going to do it for you.
Bang on the money. Nobody's going to do it for you. Whether it be chasing a creative endeavor, bringing in an income, looking after your health, doing the deep work, you're going to have to do it yourself. It might even mean that something has to change. And part of that, I'm just learning, means trusting yourself as well. Letting go of all of those preconceived ideas, understanding that there is value in the world, value for what you have to offer, and trust the process. It's not an easy thing to do, but if it were an easy thing to do, we would all have done it already.
You know, a lot of people are always so inclined to like, oh, I need a mentor. I need someone to guide me. I need someone. It's like, you don't, you know, you think you do because you're not confident enough to, you want them to give you the silver bullet, the playbook that says, cool, this is what you do. Or step number one, you do this. And then, but there are no steps. There's no laws. There's no anything. You just try it until it becomes a thing. But also be aware enough of what's going on around you and what's going on inside you to admit to yourself, like, is this working? Is it not? Is it something I really want to do? So many times I've started multiple, like, smaller brands and business. There were all these little things that I attempted to do, but I quickly saw, I'm like, this is not my game. This is not something I wanted to do. But creatively, I was like urged, you know, I had this desire to go and create the thing. And it was again that, like, oh, okay, cool, let's do the thing. Impulsive, you know, Ross going and doing the thing.
Did you hear what he said there? I love the way Ross goes about starting new projects until that creative flame has been extinguished. And he didn't say he quit something. Although he did, he stopped doing it when he realized it wasn't for him. So many of us frame quitting as a bad thing. But sometimes change can be an exceptionally powerful tool, especially if you have the right mindset. If you don't put yourself out there, if you're not going to try it, you're never going to know.
So whatever your thing is that you're doing, if you're sitting around like, oh, I don't know how to turn, you know, making toothbrushes or you know, painting shoelaces into a thing, if it interests you enough and you're aware enough of what's going on around you and just looking at the trends, then just go do it and see, you know, and see how far you can push the thing. And that's what I always maintain. I'm like, how far can I push this thing with all the stuff that's coming out? I mean, with the AI stuff now, I'm really trying to apply origami to AI, to animation, to, it's just what it's going to turn into, I have no idea, but I have a desire to see how far I can push it and how much I can, you know, draw out of these new tools and draw out of what is an ancient art of origami. And it doesn't necessarily have to be origami, but I just find that it's easier for me, particularly on Instagram, because that's, you know, people follow me for the origami stuff, but it's also now they follow me because of the animation stuff. So it evolves and you change over time, but don't think like, just don't think. I think that's the rule. Don't think ever.
That's great advice. Don't think, actually, because you're quite right. So often creatives, we do get stuck, and myself particularly, in overanalyzing something, and then I don't move. What do you think creatives are doing wrong at this point in time?
I think creatives aren't valuing the work that they do. They don't see the full potential and the value of creative work. And I think that because that's part of the narrative of, you know, that's the story we've been told. You're like the struggling artist, creative work. Okay, cool. That's fun. What do you make? Like little, you know, it's what we believe. And that's why when you do succeed creatively, people are just like, whoa, how did you do it? It's like, well, just apply the commercial understanding of a business to it. That's one way of doing it. That's just kind of how I thought about it. Like, turn it into a business. I don't see myself as an artist. I see myself as a creative entrepreneur, which is someone who's taken this art form, mixed it with a whole bunch of stuff and just seen what sticks. And I'm like, cool, well, it's going that way. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I think that creative people don't fully understand that even though they're doing the work. So a lot of creative people will sit in their little box, in their whatever it is, and work, and think that when they release the Kraken, you know, it's just going to be the most inspirational piece that everyone is going to see. And it's going to be so amazing. I'm guilty of this. I've done it many times. And they think that in harnessing that, not telling anyone and being all like cryptic about like little hints of this and that. And then when they release it, it gets 3 views on Instagram, no likes, and they sit there like, but so that's the first rung that you go down the ladder, and you're kind of like, to try and get yourself to do something again is very difficult because you're off the back of what you see as massive disappointment and massive failure. Where if all you did, and this is what I do, and because a lot of creatives are quite perfectionistic, which I am not. I'm not a perfectionist on any level. I will do it, put it out. If it's bad, correct what I can. If I can't correct it, I'll move on to the next project. Simple. But over time, I've also worked out that, you know, people are paying me money and I will do the best job that I can. I also know to get it to a point that they are happy to put it up there. Every now and then I work with a perfectionist and I'm kind of like, I understand that green is not the green that you really want. And I will try my best to get it. But, you know, and when I have to, I'm like, in the greater scheme of things, this piece of content is going up for 5 minutes and it's going down. Nobody cares. It's not going to change the world. It's not going to become viral. It's not, just forget about that. So I think as a creative person, if you can step back from that and be like, just do the work, but share the work. Just keep putting your ideas out there. It's forest for the trees, man. Like you've got to see that it's the long game. It's not something that you put out there. Whoa, I've changed the world because of this amazing thing I put out there. Nobody gives a shit. They're just like, and that's the thing. There's so much content out there that you can't care. It's difficult to care about a single piece of content. And as much as somebody shares it, and like, I know people that just share their work all the time. You know who's excellent at this is Majosi, the singer. he is so good. Like, he just shares his work all the time. And he says, please, this is my new single. This is the new album. This is my new single. This is the new album. And he just keeps putting it out there. And his latest album is astonishing. It's like amazing. Like, there's one of my favorite songs at the moment is on that album. And I'm like, how did you make the song? But his marketing is so smart, and he just keeps on doing the thing. He just keeps pushing it. And it's inspiring because he's doing exactly what I think a lot of creatives should be doing, where as opposed to sitting back, making an album in a musician's case or an artist's case, making the album and then release it. And it's like, oh, well, that was cuck, because no one knew about it. You know, it requires a lot of hard work and a lot of marketing and a lot of putting it out there. So, yeah, I just think that if there was a very long-winded way of saying, you know, how I feel about that, but I do feel quite strongly about that.
And I'm so pleased you shared. There's so many gems in there. For me, the do the work, share the work. I also sit on things far too long. I've gotten a bit better at telling people that I'm doing this thing and it's coming, and then I keep myself accountable to that. But often I've been like, oh, if I tell them, then I'm too accountable, and then I have to, and what if I don't like it? But I'm getting better at that, going with the experimentation side of creativity and understanding that we're exploring and we're learning as we do, and that you don't arrive at a destination where it's absolutely perfect. If you do, you've taken too long to get there, firstly. And secondly, fewer people are going to care because they weren't along for the journey. They weren't there for the ride. They didn't see and get to experience the highs and lows together with you. You have taken a curiosity and you've blended two different things together, the stop motion and the paper folding, the advanced technology together with an ancient art. You've created something unique, which is what draws a lot of people to you. Who's really in charge? You or the paper?
Paper just does all the work itself. Eh? Here's the storyboard. There's the camera. Can you just go fold yourself into a rabbit or a fox?
I've watched so many of your videos where you just give a gentle blow and then the paper starts folding itself. I mean, you've got a magical touch, Ross. You really do.
Exactly. No, honestly, it's all the paper. I've actually come to like fully respect paper. I know it sounds like such a weird thing to say, but because I work with it all the time, paper is very obedient, but in the same way that a computer program is. The reason I use that analogy is because if you put the wrong thing into a computer, it's going to just return the wrong thing. So it's garbage in, garbage out. The same with paper, particularly with origami. If you fold a line which is a little bit off center or a little bit away from where it needs to be, the end result is not going to be what you expect it to be. And it's exactly the same with a computer program. If you like, why is this thing not working? All it's doing is exactly what you are asking it to do. So you need to change how you ask the question. A lot of respect for paper. It frustrates the hell out of me sometimes. But I think the limitation, particularly with origami, you know, the limitation of having one square sheet, which is like, that's it. That's how you start. And you can turn it into pretty much anything. That fascinates me.
If we look at success as a concept, what is your definition of success?
You know, I have not reached the storyboard version or the popular version of what success is, which is, you know, big house, fancy car, holidays every second weekend. But I do feel that now that I've started dreaming about things, I want to achieve that. I do want financial success on some level, and I haven't achieved that just yet. So now that's a goal of mine. But I've accidentally achieved success in a space that I didn't think I'd ever, you know, achieve any sort of success, which is, you know, for a lot of people, it can be the Instagram, like how many followers I have on Instagram. That's not for me. That's like, I've been pulled into the influencer space for a number of times. And I'm like, I'm not influencing anyone here. I'm not trying to. If people see me as that, it's like, whatever. I feel like success for me has been to live a creative life. So I've dedicated my life to creativity and to creating things that, on some level, doesn't have to with every single post or every single thing I make to move someone or make them feel something or make them think about something. But it can just make them giggle. It can just make them smile. It can just make them think for a bit. And I just strive to do that consistently. You know, can I live my life and continue to even have conversations like this? I love doing this, man. Like, this is honestly, it's such a happy space for me because it's testament to the fact that I have in some person's eyes become successful. And in doing that, like, I'm like, I have to allow myself that. I'm like, yeah, maybe I whinge to my wife all the time. I'm like, I just want to be successful. She's like, well, maybe just take a step back, you know. But I don't see it. It's just I don't think I will ever arrive at this place. And I'm like, oh, I'm successful now, you know. And it comes from being happy. It comes from being able to do the things I want to do. But the number one thing, the most important thing for me for a successful life, for me, and I think for a lot of people, is to have my own time. And that's what I have now. I can jump onto a podcast with you now at any time of the week. If I've got work on, I know that I don't have someone that I have to answer to. I have to answer to myself. And if I don't do the work, if I don't go fetch the work, it's not going to come in. And if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. That's something that I've allowed myself. And I think that is success. That is your time to do whatever you want, whenever you want. I don't have kids yet. So I think that time when I do have kids, or if I do have kids, is going to change. But right now, at least I know the recipe of how to get myself to a place where I do have my own time. And that to me is successful. If you can, for some part of your life, have, you know, the time to yourself to sit and do nothing sometimes, or to go and, you know, drive around Camps Bay, or go have a cup of coffee somewhere, or meet an old friend, that's not entirely centered around work or making money, or being seen, or being, you know, whatever it is you feel like you need to be. That to me is success. Yeah.
Ross, the next question. This is a question that was left by one of my previous guests. What's the one thing holding you back from the thing you want most?
Myself. I think I'm in my own way. I'm not in a select few people who have just like, all he needs to do is just get out of his own way. But I think I stop myself from, I don't know, a bit of self-sabotage sometimes. But I do feel that right now, like I'm a lot better at that. But it has been, it's been me against myself for the longest time, being a little bit arrogant, being a little bit, proud, you know, not wanting to do work because it's like, you know, this is just not the kind of thing I do. It's everything I've mentioned, you know, everything I've spoken about up until now has been me. I'm speaking about myself. It's all the things that I've come through. And I have been at some point. So that's why I can speak with confidence saying like, this is how I was, and maybe you're the same, and or maybe you just take something from that. But yeah, I think to that person's question, myself.
And that's a part of self-development, being self-aware enough to know that you're the one that's causing the issues. It's not an external thing. And like we said at the beginning of the episode, goals are easy, progress is hard, and only progress really matters. And Russ, lastly, I have to know about a situation where you failed forward. Can you think of something that didn't quite go according to plan and worked out well?
That Up video that you mentioned for Disney Plus. I created that animation. I was so stoked with it. And I sent it to them. I sent the link to them. And I lay in bed and I woke up in the middle of the night realizing that I forgot to fold and put the chimney on top of the house, which is like one of the most essential. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And I'd already sent them the video. So I'm like, what am I going to do? Anyway, I logged back on and I noticed that where I got a response mail saying, hey Ross, I see you sent the link, but there's nothing in that folder. And I was like, yeah, because I knew exactly what I needed to do. It's like, oh, sorry, I've sent you the wrong links. And you know, in the time that I'd woken up and stressed out, I'd superimposed this little paper chimney onto the house. So I had to go frame by frame. And I mean, if you look closely, you can see it, but with the naked eye, you're not going to see it. And superimpose that chimney onto it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Something Shifted. You can find plenty more episodes on your favorite player. In fact, subscribe right now and never miss another episode. You can also find us online at somethingshifted.co.za. If you have a story about how your life has changed, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, please do let me know. You can reach me by sending an email to hello@somethingshifted.co.za. Find me on the socials at Sean Lewitz. Until the next time, keep shifting.